I think if I'll probably stop a random person in the street and ask them, what do you think about six hostages being murdered? They'll probably say that's terrible. And they're probably, but it doesn't, it's not occupying their mind, right? But for us, because we're Jewish and we're talking about our own brothers and sisters, so it's family for us. It's personal. I mean, I never met them, obviously, but it's still, it's very, very personal. So it's almost like this feeling like we're just alone. Like it's sort of a very isolating. Like it's one thing to be in pain, but it's also another thing, like no one actually understands what you're going through.
No, that's true, but I think we can turn that around. Meaning, I think you're right, right? So for anyone on the street, it's another country. For us, it's our brother and sister, brothers and sisters. You are listening to the JP Show,
Where we discuss the issues you care about from a Jewish perspective.
I am Rabbi G,
And I am Rabbi Levi.
and we hope you enjoy this episode. So welcome to another JP Show. Good morning, Rabbi Levi.
Good morning.
Unfortunately, we're actually recording this on a day that is sad. Not good news coming out of Israel with the six hostages being killed and other people who fell in terrorist attacks and soldiers and so on.
Definitely, definitely a hard day.
Yeah, a hard day. I spoke to someone in Israel last night, actually, and just, normally they're pretty strong there, but she did describe a very gloomy day. In fact, even the weather apparently in Jerusalem was quite gloomy. And she lives in the same area as where that hostage Hirsch, his parents live there, and they're very high profile, and everyone knows them. And so, yeah, heavy, and dark. But we've got to continue to be strong.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I want to maybe let's talk through this a little bit. I think everyone's sort of going through this today, and I think part of the heartbreak today, I mean, it's heartbreaking just in its own right, but it's like you go through, we go through on October 7th, we go through all the months afterwards, and then like you think, hopefully things will just get better and then sort of brighter. But it doesn't seem to be going that way. It actually seems to be like this type of event sort of like seems to be pointing us in the opposite direction. How do we deal with that?
It's such an important question, and two things come to mind. So first of all, we have to look at history. It's not the first time, unfortunately, this happened, where we had hope and then things got worse and then it got better. So we know that it will get better, but I think fundamentally, really the only way to be strong and to continue to be strong, because by the way, that's the only option we have anyway. I mean, we need to be strong as a right. That's our biggest power and always has been. But really, the only way to do it is with faith, emunah, I think. And that means on a number of levels. I mean, it means also that really believing that Hashem is actually with us, he's running the world. We don't understand him, he's transcendent, but there's a plan, and believe that it will be okay. It will turn out. I think that's, yeah, I mean, everything else comes from that. I think that's like a starting point,
Yeah,
right?
without that, there's just despair.
It is despair because it looks incredibly bleak. And I think what we've found in Jewish history is that, faith is we call faith into we access the faith when it's really, really looks bad. That's when we really need faith. We can't even pretend that anything else is possible. We just need, we need to be there. Now, I think it takes some specific significance, the fact that we're now in the month of Elul. We just thought, oh, no, we're actually not in the month of Elul. We're starting tonight as we record this. Maybe when you listen to it, it'll be at the Elul already, but it's Monday morning. So Monday night begins the journey of the month of Elul, where we are taught that God is close to us. Close to us. He's with us. He wants us to speak to him. He wants us to talk to him. He wants us to return and connect to him. So it's a powerful month, and I think we need to take note of that, and to really use it out to make this a little different, not weaker, but actually stronger.
Yeah, for sure. I was walking this morning, as I do every morning. I walk my daughter to daycare. And I
Good
was
father, good
thinking,
father,
sorry?
good father.
Yeah, it's also healthy. It's a walk, so it's good.
Sure.
And I was just thinking, like, part of this whole experience is that, like, everyone else walking in the street, at least, I'm walking there, heartbroken and in pain, and everyone else is just living their life, and they're not necessarily bad people. I think if I would probably stop, I believe Australia for the most part is a good country. I think if I'll probably stop a random person in the street and ask them, what do you think about six hostages being murdered, they'll probably say that's terrible. And they're probably, but it doesn't, it's not occupying their mind, right? But for us, because we're Jewish and we're talking about our own brothers and sisters, so it's family for us, it's personal. I mean, I never met them, obviously, but it's very, very personal. So it's almost like this feeling like we're just alone. Like it's sort of a very isolating. Like it's one thing to be in pain, but it's also another thing, like no one actually understands what you're going through.
No, that's true, but I think we can turn that around. Meaning, I think you're right, right? So for anyone on the street, it's another country. For us, it's our brother and sister, brothers and sisters. Which also means we are alone, but we have each other. In other words, we are connected to a bigger whole. It's not like, I'm going through something in my own family and everyone else just doesn't know about it. But we have a big family, and it's a big collective family, and we do have each other. And at the end of the day, we strengthen each other, and we have that mandate to strengthen each other. To pray for each other, to strengthen each other, to do good things for each other, and so on. And to go through this together, we know that there's a, I'm not sure where it comes from, but there's a phrase that's always used. It's called Tzarat Rabim, how's it go? Chatzi Nechama or something, that the pain, the challenge, or the adversity of many is half the comfort. That doesn't make it easier. Just that it's easier to go through it together, and we have to go through it together. We have to even more understand how we really all connected, and we all have intrinsic connection with each other.
And another thing that went through my thoughts also, I mean, we have this concept that God actually feels our pain. Like we have this, there's a verse that says, or sort of
Okay,
a,
that's
which
the
means I'm
yeah.
with him in his pain, or Tsar, which means all of their pain is his pain. Like that's an interesting concept. Like, well, maybe talk about that for a moment. Like, I mean, we believe that God runs the world and everything that happens is through him, right? So he can choose not to do this. So what does that mean he's in pain? Like he's in pain about what he himself did? Like how do you sort of reconcile that?
So I think it's a very comforting passage, but comforting verse. But I think the way it works, the only analogy I could always think of is this. Now, just need to be very careful. I need to sort of a disclaimer here a little bit, right? It's not for us to justify what God does. It's not for us to answer and explain what He does. And our mandate, in fact, is to ask Him to take it away. And our obligation is to pray that God should only bring revealed good. But I want to just bring one point out from this analogy, not everything from this analogy, but one point. And that is that God has a plan, and He does things that we don't understand. And ultimately, it's going to turn out good for us, we believe, right? And sometimes we do things with our own children that are painful. I don't know, we take to be vaccinated, for example, right? So if you take your, I mean, you've done that more recently than I have, right? So when you take your child to the office to be vaccinated, the child screams when he sees the doctor with his needle, right? And when he screams, you feel pain. You don't want your child to be in pain. And yet you hug him at the same time. And that's some comfort for the child. He doesn't see you, child doesn't understand you're hugging him, but you won't take him away from the doctor's office. But yet at least he knows that you're right there with him. And I think that's an amazing thing, right? So again, obviously you can explain why you take a child to vaccination, and we're not about to explain why God does things, because that's not for us to explain or to understand. But at the end of the day, what we do know from that analogy is that He's with us, and He feels our pain. He does. Whatever reason, He puts us through it, but He's hugging us at the same time. And again, getting back to the month of Elul, I think it's more emphasized during the month of Elul. He is close to us.
We have this
There's
analogy of
a
the
there's
king being
a
in the field.
sorry?
We have this analogy of the king being in the field. God is
Correct,
in trouble.
correct, correct, correct. And there's a piece of the Talmud. The Talmud says that every night, there's a particular time in the night, the Talmud says, where God cries for the fact that He had to destroy the temple. And He had to send Jews into exile. And, exile comes with all the anti-Semitism and persecution and so on. And obviously, same question. Obviously, the obvious question is, well, if you're crying, so then just end it. I mean, you're in charge. And on one level, we do ask God that. We say, "If you're in charge, just finish it up." For whatever reason, when he doesn't, he is waiting to do it for whatever reason, but at the same time, he's with us. And we really need to feel that. And it's hard to feel that. It gets harder and harder. And that's when we have to rise to the occasion. We have to remember we have it within us that strength to just never give up. We will not give up. And we'll keep believing.
Yeah. So what do you think we need to do now?
I think that's the second thing that is really, really important, right? We are in the month, we're about to begin the month of Elul, and really it's always an important month, but it needs to be much more than before, like a special one, right? And here's the challenge. I think sometimes we think that there's something wrong with that question. What should we do now? Right? Sometimes we think, well, what's the difference? Like what I do now? Like, so what? So what am I gonna do now? I'm going to come to an extra shir or something, or I'm going to say another chapter of Tehillim, or I'm going to take upon myself a new mitzvah. Right? Bottom line, I live here. I'm not in the army. I'm not doing much. I could send a few dollars, maybe. That's not going to make a difference. You know what I'm saying? So we kind of slip into it's not going to make a difference anyway. And I think this is where we really have to remind ourselves how not true that is. And I want to come back to a Rambam, and the Rambam, my Maimonides says the following. He says that a person should always look at the world, right? It's not just hyperbole. In other words, Rambam is really saying this as a serious thing. That a person should always look at the world as if the world is in balance, like a scale, right? And that one small thing, like a thought or speech or action, could tip the scale, right? So I think we need to remember the power of one small thing that we do. And we have to, we can't just feel, there's two ways that we feel upset, or we feel alone, or we feel depressed, or we feel scared, or whatever it is, right? Sometimes it's just an escape, like, okay, I feel really uneasy, but I'm just gonna go about my life in a regular way. And it can't be that. Being upset and being feeling really like it's a sad day means because we are family, we connected. And when it's your own family, you help in any way you could. Now, just like a regular thing, if you're first cousin is going through a challenge in America. Okay, so there's a medical team. I'm sure they're taking care of it, and not much you can do, but you can spiritually support a person, and sometimes that's very, very powerful. It is very powerful, always very powerful. And there's always stuff we can do. There's different things that need to be done. One of that is spiritual support and bringing goodness into the world and a spiritual and positive and powerful energy into the world. So that's through the things that we could do. We could pray. We could do another mitzvah. We can help. It's not time to slip. It's not time to say, well, I'm tired of this already. Now's the time to say no. On the contrary. And you think to yourself, yeah, okay, so I'll put on tefillin, or I'll go to shir, or I don't know, I'll light Shabbos candles, or I'll do one more mitzvah, keep Shabbos a little bit more, or whatever the case is, right? You think, I mean, that's just me, I'm part of who knows how many people. What's that gonna help? Nancy says, no, you could be tipping the scales. It could be your little mitzvah that does it. That's how your perspective has to be. And the same thing goes with the idea of the power of being connected and unity. Yes, people squabble, and unfortunately now in Israel, there's a little bit, let's be blunt, it's a bit of a division again, which is very
Yeah.
sad and very, very concerning, actually. So you can't fix it. You can talk about it. You can complain about it. You can say, oh, so good. Is that this one's right? That one's right. No one's right. Everyone's right. That's not the point. Point is, we know the power of peace, the power of unity. So increase it in your own life. Connect to someone you haven't connected to. Resolve a conflict you have with someone. Talk to someone you don't talk to so much. All that kind of stuff. Forgive. Let go. Don't be jealous. All that kind of stuff is so important, so powerful. Even if it's done by one person, you never know what that can do.
Yeah, that's powerful. Do you have any other thoughts coming from these dark days?
I think it's something you often said. I think we've said this before about the Zohar. Zohar says that we have a capacity to do two things at once.
Yeah.
So I think we can be in pain, and we should be, and we can be upset what's going on and why it's taking so long. We can also be confident, positive, happy even, But simcha is also important. Happiness is important. Joy is important. Joy, as we know from the rabbis, that joy breaks boundaries. And joy brings strength. And pride, Jewish pride, brings strength. And Jewish identity brings strength. So now's the time to dig deep.
Yeah.
Dig deep into the reservoirs of our real Jewish strength and say, no, I'm going to hold my head high.
There's no end, right? There's no point which we won't be able to dig deeper because it's infinite. God is infinite.
I mean,
we
I
hope we don't
that.
Test it anymore, but like, there's never a point we're going to say this is just too much. We can't do this anymore.
No, I mean, we hope it's going to be very, we're not going to have to do that, but yes,
right. Yeah.
That's correct, because we have an neshama, and the neshama is infinite because it's an infusion of God. It's a godly spark.
And evil, as strong as it is finite. It's not more powerful.
Evil is darkness. Darkness doesn't really have existence. It's just the absence of light. It's not,
Yeah.
And it's not godly.
Yeah. So we need to dig deep. This is the time of year. If it's ever a good time to do it.
Yeah.
For Rosh Hashanah to discover that soul, discover the spark within us.
Yeah. And I think we have to lift each other up.
Yeah.
Lift, inspire each other.
For sure. Okay. Stay hopeful, everyone. Have
faith.
Hope
for better news and good news. Very
Amen.
Soon to God.
Amen.
Have a good day, everyone.